And I shared this last week that I actually had a different sermon series in mind when I started this one, but I really felt like the Lord says, no, you need to talk about prayer. I've realized in the middle of this, everything kind of went haywire in our country, in our world, and I thought, what a great timing. The Lord knew better than I did what we needed to talk about. So just going to recap these last 3 weeks. There was a point in Jesus' ministry where his disciples came to him and they said, Lord, teach us to pray. And that's where the Lord's Prayer came about. And so 3 weeks ago, we started with the first one. This is Matthew chapter 6, verse 9. Jesus says, this is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. And saying hallowed is making a declaration. Lord, may your name be kept holy. How many of you realize that is a great request, because we live in a world where God's name is not kept holy in many places and in many people. A lot of times people use God's name in an inappropriate way. And here we are at the beginning of the Lord's Prayer, our Father in heaven. Lord, we declare and we say, make your name holy. We say in El Dorado County, Lord, make your name holy here. How does God do that? Well, two specific ways in Scripture. When God does his mighty miracles, how many of you know he is displaying his holiness, and people can't do anything but step back and say, whoa, that's God. And God's name is kept holy. The other way is by you and I demonstrating the love of God through us. You know, the Scripture says, let your light so shine before men that they may praise whom? Our Father in heaven. So I'm expecting a whole lot of reaction, but there's only a few people in here. So I hope you're saying at home that God will get glory out of the things that we do. So that's that was the first part. The second week, 2 weeks ago, we covered verse 10, where it says, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And again, this is a request of the Lord. Lord, we're saying, expand your kingdom. Let your kingdom rule in this place. Let your kingdom rule in El Dorado County. Amen? Let your rule expand through California, through the U.S., through the entire world. And we're making that declaration. And then we're saying, and let your will be done. Let me tell you, Lord, we're saying, let your will be done over this virus, over my fears. How many of you want God's will instead of your fear? Amen? Over my work. Some of you guys may be getting laid off. You're not sure where income's going to come, but Lord, we declare your will. And so these are all declarative statements that we're making. And then the next two verses, give us this day our daily bread. We're going to cover that today, but we skipped it last week. The part after that, forgive us our debts as we have forgiven our debtors. We're going to discuss that next week. But last week, I really felt like the Lord wanted me to jump ahead to lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. And when we're declaring, God, lead me not into temptation, how many of you realize God does not lead you into temptation? But he's basically, it's a prayer saying, Lord, let me not be led into this temptation. And we have to ask ourselves, who or what is leading me? If I'm walking in fear, or if I'm walking in some kind of a temptation, the reality is we're being led by something. It's maybe it's fear, whatever it is, and I think that's a big thing a lot of people are dealing with right now, is a lot of people are being led by fear. And what does fear lead us? What kind of a temptation does fear lead us to do? It leads us to forget the promises of God. And we just sang a song, all of his promises are yes and amen, right? And so when fear comes in, all of a sudden we begin to forget those promises. So we're making this prayer, this declaration, Lord, may your name be kept holy. Lord, we're asking that your will would be, your kingdom come, your will be done, because I believe it's time for the church not to be prayer worriers, but God has called us to be a prayer warrior. So say that, a prayer warrior or a prayer warrior. How many of you know what that looks like? I'm going to give you an example here. So
this is more what a prayer warrior should look like. So when you're praying, you should be declaring the promises that the Lord has said to you. So when you pray, you say, Lord, I declare in your name, by your stripes, we are healed. Lord, I declare that no matter what sickness may come against my family, no matter what sickness may come into my household, that you are the Lord over all those things, that by your stripes, by the blood that you poured out for us, God, that your healing can come into my household. When you pray over your children, you say, Lord, I believe over my children. I believe that they are going to be raised up knowing you. I believe your word that says, if you raise your children up in the way of the Lord, that when they grow old, they will not depart from it. So you pray over your children. You say, Lord, I believe that my children will come to know you as their personal Lord and Savior. I believe that my children will be strong in the Lord. I believe that my children will lean on you in their times of worry or in their times of confusion or misunderstanding, God, that you will be their source, that you will be their light. You pray over your marriage. God, I believe that my marriage is going to be focused on you. God, that you are the center of every part of me. You are the center of every relationship that I have. You are the center of it all. And those are the kinds of things that it looks like to pray as a prayer warrior.
Well, God, if it's your will, I guess it'd be nice if the sickness would go away, but only if you want it to. Because, like, it's really big and bad, and I know you're busy. So, God, I pray that you would just help me, maybe. I guess I probably don't deserve it. I messed up. So, well, thanks a lot. Amen.
Amen. So, let's be more the warrior, the first one, rather than the worrier, the people that worry their prayers before the Lord. So today we are talking about giving us this day our daily bread. The Lord's Prayer actually shifts gear at this point. And if you think about the Lord's Prayer, the first three are petitions of the Lord, speaking to the Father, Lord, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done. And then the Lord's Prayer shifts gear, and we begin to pray over ourselves and over those that are around us. And so the first three stanzas, basically, of the prayer is your name, your kingdom, your will. The second three stanzas can be broken down with us, or give us, forgive us, lead us. So there's a shift, and I believe that's divinely ordered of the Lord, because you're entering into relationship in this prayer, our Father. We're making that. I believe that that's a relationship statement that Jesus was purposing to teach them. Lord, you are our Father, and we are entering in, and we're declaring your holiness. And, you know, if you are like many people, sometimes we just tend to pray about our own interest, right? We kind of, what do I want? Okay, let me see. I'm going to go to prayer. I got to figure out what I want. What are the things that I need? And it's almost like we put a grocery list of prayer together. I need this and I need that. It's almost like a list of demands that we're trying to give God. Oh, I'm going to intercede in prayer. Lord, I need a new car. I need a new house. I need a new job. I need new hairdo. I don't know, whatever it is. And we're asking for that. But the reality is, we need to realize when we pray, we are working on our relationship with God. And if you put everything in a list of demands to God, imagine how that would look in your everyday relationships. And I'm just thinking about my wife. If only time I ever talked with her is if I had a list of demands. Hey, I'm home. Where's my dinner? Can you fix me some dinner? Can you wash my clothes? Can you massage my back? By the way, my feet need a little bit of massaging at the same time. And that's my only communication. Can you imagine how that would go?
Not good.
You heard that, right? If I came to her and said, you know what, hon, your love would be real to me if you made me dinner. But sometimes we kind of do that to God. We're like, okay, God, your love is real. You're going to be real to me if you get me this job. Lord, if you provide this, or if you do this, but Lord, if you don't. And how many people have not got their list of demands and said, oh, well, God's not real. I gave him my list, and he's just not real. Well, let me tell you, prayer is not about giving God our list of demands. It's about entering into a relationship with the Almighty God, the creator of the heavens and the earth. But here's the great part about it. He still cares about our needs. He still cares about us. He allows us to, if we just speed through our prayer like that shopping list, let me tell you that we're missing the whole point. Because Jesus said in Matthew, he said, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And then all of the other things that you and I need, God's going to add that to us. He's going to provide those things that we need, but we got to make sure that the relationship is first. So Jesus says, going back, he says, give us this day our daily bread. But, you know, what is bread? It's a basic human need. You know, especially back then, bread was something that was important, and it really represented the food. And when we pray this particular part of the prayer, give us this day our daily bread, we're saying, God, give me what I need for this day. Give me the things that I need. So I was sitting there thinking about this. If Jesus were to have written this prayer right now, it might have been this one. Give us this day our daily toilet paper. Because I need some of that today, because somebody else took all the other roles, right? And notice it says, you know, don't give me over the next 6 months all of my daily toilet paper or bread. It says, give me what? This day, right? Not 120. And listen, it's okay to ask God for needs. It's okay to bring your needs to Him, and it's not a selfish prayer. So I want to break this part of the prayer down. And it starts with this word give, and it literally means to give or to grant. And again, that's not a bad thing, but if your prayer only consists of give me this, give me that, then and you have not entered into the relationship aspect, then it's a very selfish prayer. I want to tell you that God is more offended by the prayers that you and I don't pray than the prayers that we do pray. Right? We are to ask Him. God wants us to. And sometimes we don't ask God because we just assume we know what His answer is going to be. Right? Like, God couldn't do this. This is impossible. This is too big of a situation. You know what? I've got stage 4 cancer. God can't do that. He can't fix that. Or maybe you believe that God can, but you just don't think He's going to do it for you. And so a lot of times we don't ask because we don't think God's going to do it. Either He can't or He won't do it. But Jesus says, come and ask me. I want you to come. Jesus and James, it says, you have not because you, those at home, ask not, right? You have not because you ask not. Matthew 7, it says this. Jesus says, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be open. For everyone, how many?
Everyone
who asks receives. The one who seeks finds, and the one who knocks, the door will be open. Which of you, if your son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will he give him a snake? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, I love this, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask Him? Right? We've got to ask Him. God's wanting. He's basically, I don't know how many times He can say it, ask of me. Come and bring your needs, because we serve a God that desires to provide. He is a loving Father that loves to give good gifts to His children. And I can tell you, as a father and now as a grandfather, we love giving gifts to our kids. We love giving gifts to our grandkids. And let me tell you, we can't walk into a store with a baby department without my wife finding an item, not just now for our granddaughter, but now that we got a grandson. I know that when we go into Target or one of the other ones, we're coming out with an outfit or something. Because as evil, we want to give gifts. How much more does God want to give to you and I? You know, you're sitting at home and you may be feeling, I've got this need. God wants to give that to you, but we've got to learn to begin to ask. And sometimes we have to change what we think who God is. Instead of thinking He can't or He won't, what does Scripture say? Psalms 23 says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not be in want. And I like what the New Living says. It says, the Lord is my shepherd, I have all that I need. I've got everything that He provides. All of our needs. And so we've got to ask, what do I know that is true about God? Not necessarily what I'm feeling. How many of you realize sometimes your feelings don't always line up with what is true? And so we've got to ask ourselves, what is true? Well, God has been faithful. He's been consistent. God is good. He's never failed me. Amen. He's always there for me. He's always with me. He said, never will I leave you, never will I forsake you. And so these are the things that I know about who God is. And so if I know that God is a good God, if I know that He loves me, if I know that He's going to provide, if I know that He's always been faithful and consistent and all of those things, then I can confidently bring my needs and bring my requests to Him. Amen? Amen? Now here's a checkpoint in this though. When we're praying God's will, we have to realize that sometimes God's will and my will are not the same thing. I don't know if you've ever thought this, because I know I have. I have had a great idea of how the Lord could meet a certain need, and so I began to pray that, but it's something that I thought of. And how many of you know, sometimes God's will is completely different. It's like, hey, you know, maybe you're praying for a job and you're like, okay, God, this would be the perfect job, perfect hours, perfect pay, all of that, and you're believing that that's God's will, but guess what? It may not be God's will. And so there's a conflict. You're asking God to provide this, but God's saying, you know what? I've got something different for you. I've got something better for you. And if you don't get this over here, then sometimes people get so disappointed. But you got to be able to get to the point, if you don't get what you think you need, just trust God. God knows what's best for us, amen? So, is it His will? So here it is, give first, and then the second word is us. It says, give us. It doesn't say, give me, does it? It doesn't say, give me my daily bread. It says, give us. And I think as a Western mindset, sometimes we are so individualistic. We think, oh, it's me, myself, I need this God and I need that. But the reality is that the church is the body of Christ. We are a collective. We are community, if you want to put it that way. That you know, other cultures understand that a whole lot more than we do in our Western mindset. That when we pray, we're not just asking for me. We're asking for us. Lord, give us. Lord God, bless us. I'm thankful for God's blessing, but I don't want to be the only one blessed. I want everybody in the body of Christ blessed. Amen? And so we begin to ask, Lord, give us our daily bread. Begin to bless us. And the whole spiritual principle is that whatever we give, God always outgives, right? Like if you think about Jesus and when he gave out the fed the 5,000 with the fish and the loaves, once he gave out, guess what? More came back at the end. There was more bread and that was in the baskets than what they had started out with. And I believe that principle is found in Scripture when Jesus says, give, and it shall be given unto you, a good measure, pressed down, shaken together, overflowing into your lap. So whenever you learn that principle, that when God gives and God blesses you, it's not so that we can hoard that blessing, it's so that we can bless others. Amen? Does that make sense? And so, Lord, give us, give me, And I know they wouldn't like me to point that out, but I think about John and Barbara, when all the toilet paper was getting bought out, they were able to find like this case of I don't know how many rolls, but immediately it wasn't like, oh man, I've got all these toilet paper now and I'm hiding it because I need toilet paper to last me until the year 2050. They started giving it out and they started blessing other people with it. And I think that is how it is. How many of you realize there's actually a website you can go to find out how much toilet paper you have and how many people are in your house and how long it's going to last? So people, I don't know who came up with that, but it's pretty funny. Listen, when God blesses you, it's not for you to hang on to. You know, yes, you can enjoy some of the blessings, but we need to realize we're praying, Lord, give us our daily bread. Lord, provide something so that I can begin to bless other people. Isn't that wonderful? I love being blessed. Amen. How many of you out there, raise your hand if you love being blessed. But I want to tell you, how many of you love being able to bless others? There is so much more joy. As much as I love being blessed, there is more joy in being able to be used of God to bless others than whatever. And you receive even more. When you can bless others, there is so much more that you get back that money cannot buy. Right? So we're praying, Lord, give us. And then the next part is this day, which means this time or this season when we're saying that. Lord, give that to me right now. It's the same word that's found in 2 Corinthians 6, where it says, today is the day of salvation. How many of you know we're not looking for tomorrow? A lot of people say, oh, you know what, I'll get saved down the road. Now, listen, none of us are guaranteed for tomorrow. When there's a lot of people that around the world that got this virus, they did not expect to die. And you can't put off. You have no idea what tomorrow's going to hold. So we've got to take that opportunity right now. Like, I'm going to take a pause in this message. And if you're home, if you don't know for sure that if something were to happen to you, would you be ready to enter into heaven? Would God let you in? And if you're not 100% sure, the great thing is all we got to do is accept Christ as our Savior. And so I want to take that time. So if you're at home, and listen, let us know. You can respond on Facebook, and you can respond on YouTube if you're making that decision, because we want to make sure we get some material in your hand just to follow up. But if you want to make that commitment to accept Christ as your Savior, we're going to pray right now. Okay? So if you're home, bow your head, close your eyes, or you keep them open. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for sending your Son Jesus. Thank you that today is the day of salvation. And Lord, I thank you for taking my sin and paying the penalty of that sin. So I confess you, Jesus, as my Savior and my Lord. Come and live in my heart from this day forward. Amen. How many of you know that you just received some bread that you needed? So let's realize that building that relationship with God is so important, and it starts with that salvation. So we're asking God. Let me get back into this the scripture here. We're asking for today. We're not asking for the next 10 years because it is that relationship. God is not Costco or Sam's. You're not saying, God, supply everything that I need from this point forward. We are to come how? John 6 is a reference. It says, Jesus then said to them, truly, truly, I say to you, it was not Moses who gave you bread in the, from heaven, but my Father gives you the true bread in heaven. And he's referencing the Israelites when they were going through the desert and they had no food. They were like, what are we going to eat? And they didn't have that daily bread. So God provides manna. This amazing stuff that was like a honey wafer, and he provided it every day. It was like dew on the fields, and they had to go and collect it. But he told them, only take enough for today. Don't take 3 or 4 days' worth. Don't take 2 months' worth. What would happen is if you took more than a day's worth, except for a Friday, they could collect 2 days' worth to cover through the Sabbath. But if they took too much, it would rot, and maggots would appear, and it was pretty disgusting. And I always thought, why did God do that? Why was that? I believe there was a trust-building exercise in faith that God was teaching them to trust him every day. Trust me every day. Every day I need to come to him. You know, sometimes we come to God and we're like, oh, blah, 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 Lord, thank you, I need this. Well, that's not a relationship. God wanted to teach them how to begin to come to him, how to begin to trust them every single day for the things that they need. And I believe that it is an invitation to that relationship. We need to learn how to spend time before God. Amen. To say, God, I'm here. God, I'm not leaving until I get that word from you or that blessing from you. Just like Jacob in the Old Testament, the scripture says that he wrestled with God. How long did he do it? All night long. And the angel of the Lord said, you know, let me go. And he says, not until I get that blessing. I believe that we need to learn how to spend that time in that relationship and not just give God a list of all of our needs. I mean, doesn't Jesus say in Matthew 6, don't worry, you know, I take care of the lilies of the field, I'm taking care of the birds of the air. Don't worry, I'm going to take care of you. And I believe that's a word for somebody that's listening right now. God is saying, don't worry. Don't worry about what's going on in the news. Maybe you need to turn the TV off a little bit and say, I'm not going to worry anymore. Because God is with me, God is provided, God is faithful. You know, I used to think that the opposite of faith was doubt, right? Kind of sounds like it. But I don't really think that. Sometimes doubt can cause you to get into God's Word and really explore your faith a little bit more, right? I really believe the opposite of faith is worry. Yeah. Think about that. Because faith is saying, God, I trust you, I believe you. Worry is saying, oh no, God, I don't know if you're going to get this right. Lord, God, I may need to help you in this because we're not really trusting God. And that's really what faith is. If we're worrying, that means we're not trusting. We don't have our faith in God. We're putting it in something else. Maybe you've been looking at your stock market and what you have in there. Oh no, I've lost all this money. I've lost all this money, but God's going to take care of you. You don't have to stress about it. You know, the Lord is saying it's time to step into faith. Trust me for your daily bread. Trust me for what you need today. Learn to begin to pray that. Again, let me go back to that verse out of John 6 where he says, I tell you the truth, Moses didn't give you the bread from heaven, my Father did. Now he offers you the true bread from heaven. The true bread of God is the one who came down from heaven and gives life to the world. And they said, sir, give us that bread every day. Jesus said, I am that bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry. Whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. You see, I believe that God is offering us something more. Maybe you're in a situation, you're like, you know what, I've never struggled. Many people in America, we've never struggled really where our next meal is going to come from or if I got enough toilet paper. So, you know, a lot of people around the world, they're not sure where their next meal. And so it kind of puts us in this, how do I apply this? Because when I say, give me this day, and you open up your cabinet and you got all kinds of food, maybe you're out of rice or you're out of beans or something, but come on, we've got plenty of food, do we not? So how do I apply that? I think the reality is that we can have bread on our plate, but have a lack of nourishment in our soul, right? We can be successful in life, but that doesn't mean you're fulfilled, does it? And so when he's offering this bread, I believe that, yes, it's for physical needs that we need, but I believe it's also for the need that so many people are lacking, and that's a spiritual need that is lacking peace, that is lacking joy, that is lacking confidence in him. Worry is overtaking so many people. And listen, we don't have to. We don't have to be afraid. And so I'm going to ask my wife to come up here, and we're gonna take a few minutes and pray. We can't have you guys come up here to the altar and pray over you, but we can pray for your needs. And listen, maybe you can go online and you can say, hey, listen, pray for me in this area, pray for me in that area, and we're going to do that. But we just want to take a few minutes and be led of the Lord. And we just want to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit and just take a few minutes, and we're going to pray. And believe that God's going to meet whatever need it is that you are. I know some of you guys need to be healed, right? If you need a touch from heaven, we're going to pray over that.
Yeah, let's pray. Father, we thank you that you're mighty and that you're powerful and that, Father, that by your stripes you said that we are healed. So right now, in the name of Jesus, we take authority over every sickness and disease. We take authority in the mighty, mighty, powerful name of Jesus. Yeah. Over viruses, over the flu, over even this coronavirus. Lord, you're more powerful. We declare that over our counties and over our country. Yes. You are greater than this disease. And so, Lord, in the name of Jesus, I pray for bodies to be healed. Yes. I pray for those who have that disease, that they would this morning know that the power of God would do a turnaround. We thank you, Father, that every infirmity would be healed. We thank you that Lord, your people would walk in divine health. Lord, I thank you for that. I thank you what you're going to do. Lord, I pray that we would have eyes to see the things that you see, Lord. And a part of that is to walk in the health that you've called us to. And so, Lord, over high blood pressure, we just speak in Jesus' name for that to be healed completely, Father. We thank you, Lord. We thank you that you'll heal backs and knees and headaches and, Lord, and migraines. Lord, I'm praying for those who are struggling over with migraines. In the name of Jesus, heal that keeps repeating itself over and over. In the name of Jesus, I speak the blood of Jesus over that situation. And we thank you, Lord. We thank you that you're a healer. You still are the God that heals every sickness, every disease, every infirmity.
Yes.
We thank you, Lord.
Yes, and I just feel like God wants to touch respiratory issues because this virus is bringing fear in that. So if you need a touch in your respiratory system, I'm just asking you to put your hand on your chest right now and just begin to claim and begin to say, Lord, I thank you for my healing. Lord, I thank you that you are my healer. You are the healer of my lungs. Lord God, you are the healer of asthma. Lord God, you are the healer of any infection that tries to come in. And Lord God, we just begin to declare, Father, that you're healing. By your stripes, we are healed, Lord. That's what your word says. And Lord, you don't heal us because we deserve it, but you heal us because you love us, Lord God. I just believe that someone needs to hear that. God wants to touch you. He wants to heal you right now because he loves you. We're just trusting you in that, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Over minds, Lord, over just the torment that has been reoccurring over minds. I pray for thoughts that they would line up with your word. Lord, that you would train your people how to pull every thought captive to the obedience of you. That, Lord, we would not allow fear to dominate. But I pray that a supernatural faith to rise in your people like never before. God, I thank you, even those who today just called out to you and made a profession of faith. Father, let a supernatural empowerment of a thought process come on them, that their thinking would be right. Yes. And it would not, we would think on what you have to say, Lord. We thank you for that.
Yes. Lord God, I just want to pray over finances as well. Lord God, as many businesses and people have been laid off, Lord God, I just pray your provision. Lord God, you are the provider, Lord God, through whatever is going on. Lord, as your people, Lord God, we don't have to walk in recession. We don't have to walk along the world's economy. Lord, we live in kingdom economy. Lord, we're a part of your kingdom. And Lord God, your kingdom declares that you are a God that owns the cattle on 1,000 hill. And Lord God, I just say in every other hill on top of that. So Lord, I just pray that you would begin to open up financial miracles, Lord God, in people's lives, Lord, where things have gotten tight. Lord, that as we learn that principle, as we give to you, Lord God, you're going to pour so much back into us. So Lord God, I just declare that. I speak that, Lord God, over any that are worried or concerned about finances.
For businesses that have found themselves in a hardship right now, we pray prosperity. We pray that a supernatural provision to happen. We ask you, Lord, that you would give creative ideas to business owners and entrepreneurs, that, Lord, they would have the insight and the wisdom that comes from the throne of heaven to know how to navigate in these times. Father, I'm asking you in the name of Jesus that there would be just... I just sense a supernatural provision that, Father, that as hearts are yielded to you, Father, that there would be more than enough. And God, I thank you that generosity would be evident in your people, that, Lord, each one of us would be continue to be the people of generosity, moving in what you've called us to, not hoarding in any area, not hoarding in our love, not hoarding in our monetary possessions, not hoarding in anything, but we would do what you've called us to do, to be people that are generous, God.
Yes, yes. I just really sense that there's somebody watching right now that you're all by yourself. You're feeling like you're alone, but I want to tell you the Lord has his eye on you. He's right there with you. And I just want to declare peace right now. Those that are in a storm, those that are going through raging waters, Lord, I just declare peace right now. Lord, even as Jesus spoke it over the waters and the waves subsided, Lord God, I declare that over that person right now, several people, Lord.